Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Want to remind you, too, if you are a basketball fan, you can catch tomorrow night's game between the Cavaliers. The Bucks are hosting the game 6:30 tomorrow night. You can catch it on Oshkosh Air Support on WISS in Oshkosh and WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM.
Nice.
All right.
I got
as she does,
basketball.
As she does every Thursday at this time, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for our public cervix announcement. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. Thank you so much for being here. And we are going to talk about this again because I don't think it can be discussed enough. And here's why. We talk about abortion bans. We talk about abortion restrictions quite a bit. And last week, I was listening to the Todd Albaugh show from noon to two here on Civic Media, follows right after us. And he was talking about the abortion bans. And a woman called in, very nice woman, and she said, Dr. Lyerly, no one is making women carry a baby that's dead. And Todd said, yes, they actually are. And she said, well, that doesn't make any sense. And
it doesn't.
It doesn't. And but I think that is an indicator of people who do not understand the extremes, maybe not here in Wisconsin, but the extremes that these bans are being taken to for things that make no sense and for things that are ultimately very dangerous for the pregnant person.
A lot of people don't understand. I mean, remember, one in four women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. And nearly every woman who has been pregnant, has experienced a pregnancy, recognizes that pregnancy for many people is not a joyful event. Parts of it can be joyful. Sometimes it's entirely joyful, but it's hard. And things that happen during your pregnancy can be absolutely heartbreaking, and they set you on a path for the rest of your life that affects your future fertility, your mental health, just your future in general. And that's why we call it abortion care. We call it health care because it requires care, not just checking off boxes. It's not like getting your oil changed. It really requires hearing what somebody is saying, recognizing what their needs are, and helping them find answers for themselves within the context of their own lives.
Yeah, it's not a one size. Everybody gets pregnant and has the same pregnancy. That is simply not true. It is a case by case, very individual thing. That's why this is not a black and white issue. It's just not.
And it's why you can't legislate it. Science changes. Back when they first instituted the 1849 criminal ban that Wisconsin has, that's still working its way through the court system, we didn't have pregnancy tests. I mean, think about it. When I was a kid, we didn't have pregnancy tests that you could just go to the pharmacy and pee on a stick and know if you were pregnant. You had to go to the doctor and get a blood test.
That's
when
right.
When my mom was pregnant. Yeah. Before that, there were no ultrasounds, obviously. You didn't know you were pregnant until probably you had missed a period, but people miss periods all the time and they're not pregnant. So that doesn't necessarily indicate you're pregnant. Usually it was when you could actually feel fetal movement. That was the time when you knew you were pregnant. So if you legislate something in 1849, it's not relevant in 2024. And you can't legislate medicine because it changes so fast and because it's so complicated and everybody's approach is so different.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. She's here every Thursday at this time for our public cervix announcement. One of the things we wanted to talk about, Dr. Lyerly, is the Republicans in Wisconsin, their latest efforts to add exceptions for pregnancies that result in sexual assault and incest to a bill. They came up with this bill earlier this week, banning abortions in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Now, originally, Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie did not include exceptions for rape and incest because, quote, a 14-week time frame is a long enough time frame to make a decision, unquote. And all I could think of was, if you're an 11 or 12-year-old girl who was raped, 14 weeks, really, what if she's afraid to tell her mother? What if she's afraid to tell an adult in her life? What if she doesn't even have enough basic biological knowledge to realize what could happen from this? You think a 12-year-old girl can make that decision in 14 weeks?
Yeah, I saw a 15-year-old girl the other day who didn't know she was pregnant until she was 16 weeks along. And you know, I've seen 30-year-old women who show up at 20 weeks because they always have irregular periods and they just never thought anything of it. And suddenly they felt this weird thing and they noticed they were gaining weight and something was different. This happens all the time. And it's shocking to me that a woman who is the mother of two makes this assumption. And by the way, she has no medical background.
Oh, no.
And I don't know that she reached out to anybody when she was putting this together. It's based on a false premise. These pregnancies are dated by post-fertilization age, which is not a medical concept. I mean, do you know when fertilization occurs? You might know when you had sex, but that doesn't mean that that's the day that fertilization occurred. So it's based on bad dates. It has some really horrifying things in it, including that exception for rape. And Jane, you sent me the other day, and I looked this up in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, the biggest medical journal out there, 65,000 pregnancies have resulted from rape in the last 16 months in just 14 states that have banned abortion. 65,000 pregnancies have resulted from rape. And 26,000 of those are in Texas alone. So don't tell me that pregnancy does not happen or that rape, as Governor Abbott said in Texas, we're going to eliminate rape.
Yeah.
Well, clearly they haven't, because there are 26,000 people who have gotten pregnant in the last 16 months because of rape.
Well, able-bodied workers, Dr. Lyerly. I mean, they're producing able-bodied workers that we need for our economy. So I would think that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson would be delighted to hear this, because it's every woman's duty to produce at least one able-bodied worker. I have failed. I apologize.
And Jane, that's not even the most shocking thing about this bill. There is language in this bill that would require, if I were to perform an abortion after 14 weeks, I would have to perform it in the way that kept the fetus as intact as possible, which means that if I have a patient like Kate Cox in Texas, and by the way, I recently saw someone who had a history of two C-sections. She's 22 weeks pregnant. She has a baby that has chromosome problems. This baby will not survive. Her heart is broken. She wants this baby. And Wisconsin law would make me have to do a C-section to deliver this baby. And that C-section would ruin her uterus. It would put her at risk. And it would ruin her ability to carry a baby to term in the future. It would really potentially ruin her life.
You know, Doctor, something we were talking about earlier on Pat's show, and it's why I sent you the quote from Scott Walker, is that this is nothing new in Wisconsin with the idea of, you know, trying to take the aspect of rape and incest off the table. Like, you know, we don't want abortion, but when we ask the question, but what about rape or incest? They're like, Scott Walker in 2015 said that that's only important to a woman for about a couple weeks. After that, the trauma is gone. It's gone. It's dissipated. Yeah. Now she's going to have a baby, and there'll be nothing left but pure joy. So this is nothing new to them. It's their way of explaining it away and making us seem like the monsters for asking when we just want answers and they can never provide them. And as you said, she has no medical background, so she can't tell us why.
I would answer that with a story of a patient who I took care of in Wisconsin who presented for an abortion. She had an 18-year-old daughter at home, and she had never told anybody until she came in and saw me that her daughter was the product of a rape. And it wasn't an option for her to have an abortion at that point. And she loved her daughter deeply. And every day she also hated her daughter because of how she came into the world. And we sat in the room and we cried about the trauma she experienced 18 years earlier. She wasn't over it and she'll never be over it. So Scott Walker, check yourself. Yeah. You have no idea what these people go through, but I do, because I sit in private exam rooms and hear their stories that they never tell anybody else. But I know, and that's why I'm so grateful to you guys for giving me this opportunity to share these stories. People need to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there are so many falsehoods floating around out there. There's so much misinformation. And by the way, Scott Walker, you're not a doctor either. Dr. Lyerly is a doctor.
I don't think Scott Walker even graduated from college.
No,
he didn't.
No, he did not. Although, I mean, here's the thing is, there's a lot of people who don't graduate from college, and there's...
But they're
not giving medical advice.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Again, he's still not a doctor. 844-967-2789. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been very patient. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, and there's been several women in my life that have experienced rape, and I know that it causes deep emotional scars to them. I mean, that it just is. And here once again that Scott Walker said, I mean, I just... the rage that is in me, it's the kind of thing that somebody should have just given Walker a good swift kick over a punch in the nose, because it just, for him to make something, say something insensitive as that, I mean, over an issue as rape, and I mean that, and the people who are, this 14-week ban isn't good enough for the people who are anti-abortion. I mean, they think that is too long.
Yes.
I mean, that 14 weeks is too long. You know, following up on this thing, I mean, that it just amazes me. They want to protect the unborn, but they are Republicans once again. We heard in Tony Evers' speech that they refuse to do anything about PFAS, and PFAS contamination is affecting babies in utero. It's affecting all our health, but it affects the babies as well. I mean, it is just shocking to me that these people are getting away with this stuff. And I mean, it just is. There's so much that's gotten me angry about these things, these people today. That it is just it's hard to maintain a peaceful disposition toward them when you hear this kind of thing going on, because the violence that they want to cause in this and other actions is just, it's horrifying.
Well, and that's why, thank you so much, Mark. We really appreciate you listening and calling, as always. That's why I think it's important that we shine light on these things. We have to talk about hard things. We have to talk about difficult, uncomfortable things in order to understand exactly what's going on. All right, we are going to be right back. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be with us. If you want to ask her a question, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here with us for our public cervix announcement, as she is every Thursday at this time. Want to give a shout out, if you're listening in Wisconsin Rapids, on WFHR and on the Buzz of the North, WBZH in Hayward, thank you for joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. We were talking about the latest proposal from the Republicans in Wisconsin to ban abortion after 14 weeks. What do you think? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? One of the things I find so interesting about this, Dr. Lyerly, is Robin Voss now is all about, well, this is about giving residents a choice. We want the residents to be able to decide, but we're going to give it big, but we're making it 14 weeks. So that's what you have to agree with. But we want them to decide.
How about giving them the choice when they're in the exam room and they're actually in a situation where they have to make a choice? That's where the decision ought to be made. You know, and to the point about the legislation that and I know that I'm using words that are hard to hear, but I'm using medically accurate words, the legislation that demands that the fetus be delivered intact, this legislation carries greater risks of infection, bleeding, need for additional procedures. If you do what the Wisconsin legislature wants you to do, what the Wisconsin legislature that isn't at all plugged in with the medical community wants you to do,
at all,
50% risk, 50% risk of complications. If you do the surgery and you choose that route, it's a 17% risk, 50% risk of complications. In addition to the mental toll that it takes on you now and in the future, like, they're hurting you. Your Republican legislators are hurting you with this legislation.
We have a comment from Jeff, and we referenced this a little bit, but I think it's important to repeat this, Dr. Lowery. I read a report today that 64,000 pregnancies from rape, 91% have occurred in red states with no abortion exceptions for rape. This is shocking. And this is an actual valid report.
I couldn't believe it when I saw those numbers. When you sent that to me, I had to go and actually look at the data and how they compiled the data, because it just didn't seem possible, but it's real.
And this is over 16 months.
Over 16 months, 64,000 pregnancies resulting from rape in 14 states over 16 months.
Good job. That's eliminating. Yeah, good job eliminating rape in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott. Well done. You're such a hero. Scott from St. Louis is on the line. Good morning, Scott. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I'm back. A few years ago, I was talking with someone who had gotten pregnant through trafficking, and she'd gotten out, but she later found out that she was pregnant. And she was wrestling with whether to abort or not, because she knew she had a drug history, she was on her own, had no support system, and ultimately she did decide to abort, but she went down a really bad depressive spiral because she was like, I know that this was the best thing for my child, but I so wish I could hold her in my hands right now. It was ultimately a choice of, can I support this child, or is this child going to be in the same miserable life that I'm living right now? It was not a, oh, this is an alternative to contraception. It was, I was trafficked, I was raped, I'm now pregnant, what do I do with this?
That's so heartbreaking, Scott. That's just heartbreaking. And I think you make a good point in that, and we've talked about this many times, Dr. Lowery, many of these pregnancies are wanted. These women want to have these babies. Not obviously in a case of rape, but in other instances, they're already mothers. But something goes wrong because every pregnancy is different.
I've taken care of women who were raped, and they did want the pregnancy. It wasn't about the rape. It was about the pregnancy. This is why you can't let legislators make your personal medical decisions. I'm so sorry, Scott. And unfortunately, her story is not unique. There are women who experience that every single day. And this is where we need to throw our arms around these women and say, how can we help you? What can we do for you to provide you with the information, the support, whatever you need to make your decision now and to keep living your life afterwards? Mm-hmm. Because it's not over. Once the pregnancy is over, however it ends, it's still not over.
Yeah, to me, when he was talking, it opened up the idea.
Thank you for calling, Scott, by the way. Appreciate it.
When, as he was speaking, I'm like, yeah, this opens up the bigger conversation of mental health in this country then, too. And how are we taking care of? I mean, we see leaders standing on their podiums talking about the dangers and the poisons of human trafficking. Okay, you're right. No one of their sane mind is for this. But when you have someone like Scott is referencing, how do we help her then?
Yeah.
How do we take care of her in all sense, whether it's physical health or mental health? How are we helping?
And let's step back and let's combat human trafficking. I mean, let's make sure that people have access to contraception, that they have a place they can go, that they can afford it, that they have the education so that they know what's going to work for them. And all women birth control doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
And every kind of birth control doesn't work for every single person. It is a puzzle to put together. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I mean, you might start with the pill, but maybe the pill isn't right for you. And maybe we can switch you to a different kind of pill. Or maybe you go with the implant that goes in your arm. Or maybe you want the ring that goes in your vagina. But you have to know where you can go to get that information so you can figure out what the best thing is for you.
Not to make light at all, but also, how about progress on male birth control then, too? What can we talk about that at all? Or, because, I mean, I'm sure for men, if that happens, we will have options because it won't work everything like you said. But if you open that option up for us, you open up the options for more birth control and more protection.
We're trying, but here's the problem. It's not the same for men because they can't get pregnant. So they don't have the same desperate need. You know, women, young women of childbearing age, this is a really critical concern for us because we want to make sure that we're okay. We recognize how life-changing this is. It's, I think it's a little bit different for men. They have had birth control. They actually had a cream that men were putting on their arms that changed sperm production, and it was effective. The problem was that they couldn't tolerate the side effects, and they didn't think that men would be willing to take it.
Oh,
so
no.
They didn't
we
push
are
it through.
Cowards. Absolute cowards. Yeah. If you don't agree with me, I challenge you to watch the video where a policeman sat in a chair and had period pains induced. This, and at six, he said, I'd call in. And she goes, there's no calling in, bro. There's no calling in for this.
This is just a regular Tuesday when I have my period. Get over it.
Yeah. So,
Dr. Lyerly, it is always such a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you so very much. You will be here next Thursday at 11:06 for our next public cervix announcement.
I love hanging out with you guys.
It's wonderful to see you.
And you can always ask Dr. Lyerly a question. You can shoot us a text. You can shoot us an email. Send out your emails now to mattnaironair@civicmedia.us. Stay with us when we return. J.R. Radcliffe, we're the sports guru talking all things sports. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cal B, the screen on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. Joining us every other week at this time, Journal Sentinel sports guru and reporter J.R. Radcliffe. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm very excited that sports guru is now my official title on this show. I support this. I love this idea.
We'll see if we can get you some merch, a Civic Media, you know, sports guru.
Oh, merch!
Yeah, well,
yes,
we're working on Matt and Air on the Air. Matt and Air on Air merch. So we'll see if we can't.
We call it Hat and Air on Air.
All kinds of ideas. All kinds of ideas.
Oh yes, I love it. Dad joke energy. I love that.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Do you want to start with Adrian Griffith and Doc Rivers? We'll start with the Bucks.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a very busy week. I got to go actually to the Packers playoff games for our coverage. I got to go to Dallas and then to San Francisco, and it's been very busy. The news that Adrian Griffin was getting fired really, I mean, it didn't catch me completely off guard, but you know they're a very good team. You know they've got 30. You know they were 30-13 when they made this move. That's a really It's not unprecedented for a team to move on from a coach at that stage of the season with that winning record, but it is, as you might imagine, very, very rare. Essentially acknowledging that they maybe made a mistake. They don't like what they got with him, and they weren't seeing improvement quick enough on defense to the point where you could expect this team to make a move in the postseason. You know, there were some serious concerns that this team could win a title, even with as much regular season success as they've had in wins and losses. So that move was seemingly in concert with the decision to hire Doc Rivers. It was not 100% clear that happened immediately, but it seems like they pretty much had that in place. Doc Rivers is an interesting guy. He has some of the same, I would say, criticisms that they would have had of Mike Budenholzer, who was fired before they hired Adrian Griffin, and that's not a lot of postseason success. He has coached with a lot of superstar players before with Los Angeles and Philadelphia, and he's never made it with those teams outside of the Eastern Conference semifinals. There's extenuating circumstances. Some of those situations were dysfunctional. You probably don't have that with this Milwaukee team, but they kind of are, I won't say back in the same place. Doc Rivers is one of the 10 winningest coaches in NBA history. He's a Marquette guy. A lot of people in Milwaukee know who he is. There's a lot of value here, a lot of cachet, but it's interesting. You know, it's obviously a huge change, and he brings a lot of cachet, but also, you know, some questions. So we'll see how this goes. It's going to be it's certainly going to be remembered on John Horst's career. You know, when it's all said and done, people are going to remember that he made this move, because this is a pretty, you know, a pretty daring decision to make so soon into the first year of a head coach.
Excuse me, JR. I was talking to some of the biggest Bucks analysts I know, which are Milwaukee comedians. They worship this band, or this team so much. And
yeah,
one of the things I asked them, and because I, you know, would love to try to understand it as not the deepest basketball fan, is this. So one of the things that I'd heard fans talking about all season was the lack of defense. Now, firing Adrian Griffin and bringing on Doc Rivers, is he going to be able to repurpose some of these players to be better defensive players, or will the Bucks be looking for, you know, their defensive Dame Lillard, where like someone who's just unstoppable, they're going to sign to the team? Or is it about working with the resources they have now and saying, no, these guys, they can be stronger on D, and we're going to make them stronger?
Yeah, it's going to have to be the latter, because they aren't really in position to do a lot of roster overhauling. And I've thought that before, and then they've come through with some pretty impressive roster moves midseason. So I don't want to put limits on what John Horst can do, but they kind of made their bet a little bit with bringing in the guys that they brought in. Now Damian Lillard, you'd make that trade 10 times out of 10. He is a superstar. You lost something defensively by trading him for Drew Holiday. That was always an understood part of the mm-hmm. equation. You were always going to lose something defensively. And then you got guys like Malik Beasley and Cameron Payne. And I mean, those guys are fine, especially Malik Beasley, who's having a ridiculous shooting year. It's just awesome. But defensively, like, and it's not for lack of effort. It really isn't. The effort is there. It's just not the guys that they have previously had that yeah. made this one of the top five defenses in the NBA. So you were always going to have a trade-off. The problem is going from a top-five defense to a bottom-third defense. It's just been a really yeah. dramatic shift. Yeah. And there is a feeling like there's some gap there. There are ways that they can be more organized. And at some point, the coach has to be the guy to drive the bus there. And that doesn't mean that a new coach can come in, work with the ingredients he's given, and actually turn them into a solid defensive team. I don't know if that's possible, but I do think that it's worth the shot. Because what you had now, even if they were making maybe slight improvements over the course of the season, you know, Damian Lillard is, you know, in his 30s now. Like, the window isn't open forever here. They really they're really driven towards success for the next couple of years, and you don't want to wait that long. You can't wait to rebuild into something. You've got to be prepared to make a title run right now.
Yeah.
I think I'm sure they view that this is a move that helps them do that.
JS, Journal Sentinel, a sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, is our guest talking about the Bucks getting rid of Adrian Griffin and signing Doc Rivers. They're essentially paying three coaches now, JR, right? Can't they just have a round robin and they can all coach together, even though two of them no longer work for the Bucks?
Let's get Stotts back in here too. Stotts, come on in.
I mean, we are paying these guys. Yeah. The Bucks are paying these guys, right?
And they might be, I don't even know how it works. They might be paying Terry Stotts. I don't think they're paying Terry Stotts too. I think they probably figured something out there. But again, former Bucks coach Terry Stotts, they wouldn't be paying him as the head coach. But like, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen now, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's part of the risk, right? Like, they are financially tied right now to three different guys. And that's just that's just part of the calculus. But like, this is not a team that's making decisions because of the pocketbook. They're making decisions because they believe they can win more championships, and you got to do that, I guess. I mean, that's what you got
to
do.
Can the Bucks talk to the Brewers about making moves and not thinking about the pocketbook? I mean, they did spend a lot of money this preseason, but
yeah,
we'll talk about that in a moment. So
yeah, that would be nice. It would be nice to think like that. I mean, the Bucks did just get, you know, they've got a new member of the ownership team in the past year with the Haslams, and they have, yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, but one thing they've got is a lot of money, so I guess they can absorb this.
Well, let's move on to the Packers getting rid of Joe Barry. A lot of people have been calling for Joe Barry's head, even with the last couple of games they had that were pretty impressive. So, what's going to happen next up there?
When you're searching for a coordinator in this particular job, it's so wide open. Like, we could give. I've been looking at names, you know, other former coordinators, even former head coaches. young up and coming guys. Like, they could go a million different directions here. And I do think it'll be a pretty plum opportunity for somebody, because this is a team that's going to contend for a Super Bowl next year. So you're going to have somebody who's like, yeah, I want to be defensive coordinator of the Packers, because A, there's going to be success, and maybe it's even a springboard into a head coaching job down the line, because the bar isn't super high. Like, Joe Barry, by all accounts, tremendous guy, just has not had success.
Yeah.
In these three NFL stops, it just hasn't come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to take a ton, I don't think, to pull this into a better-than-average defense, which is going to be a great supplement to what looks like could be an explosive offense. So I have no inkling as to what direction they go in. Yes, I know a lot of people were hoping that this would be the move they make. The defensive coordinator position is a thankless job. You know, Dom Capers won a Super Bowl, and no one remembers Dom Capers as the guy who helped win a Super Bowl.
Truly.
They remember the 7 years after when they wanted him fired, you know, and Mike Pettine after that. And even Fritz Schirmer, who was a big part of the early 90s success. Like, no one remembers him as one of the architects of the Packers' success, but like, Fritz Schirmer was important. It's a thankless situation. So, it's unfortunate that, you know, because Joe Barry is beloved to a degree. Like, they really do like him in that locker room. They think he's a great guy. He's a great guy. It just wasn't working. They had to move on.
Looking ahead to the Super Bowl, I'm cheering for the Lions now, because I just feel many similarities between the Lions going all those decades without any, you know, without any wins like the Packers. And I really would like to see them take it all the way.
I want to see the Chiefs and the Lions together.
Do you think they can take it all the way, JR?
I do. I mean, anytime you get to this stage, you can. You know, it's there are no long shots anymore. My wife is from Dearborn, Michigan, huge Lions fan. So we've got a Lions flag out in front of our house, to admit. So I definitely would love to see this happen at this point. But I agree with you. Small market, you know, in terms of pro sports, long-suffering fan base. I mean, 3 decades without being in this position.
Yeah.
Generational excitement right now in Detroit. It is fun to see. You know, it's fun to see how geared up Detroit is. And, you know, like, do we need another 49ers in the Super Bowl? They get to do this, like, every few years.
No.
Yeah. So I'm ready for new blood. I think it'll be really fun.
The 49ers have enough rings. I check the ring website all the time with the Super Bowl rings. They have enough. The Lions could use a new ring. We're going to wrap things up with J.R. Radcliffe talking about the Brewers spending a little money.
Yeah, they signed Rhys Hoskins, former Philadelphia Philly. He's a first baseman. They signed him to a 2-year deal, $32 million. There's a player option in there, so he can opt out if he wants. For the second year. So if he has a really good year and wants to get paid more somewhere else, that's on the table. But that's the biggest free agent deal they've handed out since 2018 in terms of total money. So they don't offer a lot of multi-year deals. He's a perfect fit. He's going to be 31 years old. He can mash. He's a right-handed hitter. He's had success in this ballpark. He's fine defensively. He's not great, but he's not a complete and utter disaster by any means at first base. It's hard to be at first base that much of a liability, and he's fine. So it's a really exciting thing. He's got a great reputation as being a great clubhouse guy and all of that. I mean, he was the best first baseman on the market. I didn't think the Brewers would go after a guy like that. They seldom do. They wait until late January, early February, when spring training is getting going, and they find a couple bargains from guys who just don't have teams yet. They jumped ahead of the line here with Rhys Hoskins. It's a huge addition to an offense that just really needs it. So I'm really impressed with that one. I think that's a move that will resonate. I think it's going to work out really well for them.
Text from the 608, Wes from Middleton, listening to WMDX. He said, consider my thunder stolen. Where is the sense of urgency for the Brewers? Which I think you just said, you know, they've got a little bit of urgency right now. And he said, all of our teams have legitimate shots at making championship runs, including several of our Badger sports. Why is the Brewers front office accepting complacency? That's not something our fan base is going to stand for. Well, first of all, it's something we've stood for a long time.
Yeah,
so I'll just
say
that. But it sounds like with this acquisition and with what we're going to be looking at for some of the people we're signing, I'm forgetting his name right now, the big signing from a couple weeks ago, but it seems like the Brewers might be putting on the pants that have the big wallet pockets.
I mean, it's also important to note that it's still not, like, in the grand scheme of free agent signing, this isn't a deal that's going to headline ESPN or anything.
No.
He did miss all of last season with a torn ACL, which is what made him a little more affordable. So there's still some bargain hunting baked into this as well. But this is, yes, I do think this is a non-traditional big move for the Brewers, who do wait a lot. I would say that they're not the only team. I mean, the Cubs, for example, are not spending at all right now. And there are a lot of really good free agents left. This has been a really late developing offseason in Major League Baseball. There's some big, big ticket guys who have not signed yet. Josh Hader just signed last week. Blake Snell, starting pitcher. Jordan Montgomery, a starting pitcher. Those guys are still out there. Matt Chapman, a third baseman who would look great in a Brewers uniform as well. they're still out there. So that's not just a Brewers thing this particular offseason.
Yeah.
But I would expect they still sign somebody. You know, they found somebody in February the last couple of years. Last 3 years, so maybe they do that again. I wouldn't count on that person being a superstar, but you know they probably are not done with this roster.
Okay.
Well, and it is nice to at least get, you know, for Brewers fans like Greg to, so they threw you a little bone. That's kind of nice.
Thanks.
Well, I know, but it's better than a rock to the back of the head.
That's true. That's true. I mean, honestly, I'm not even at this point this season. I wouldn't even say I want to. Ring. I would just like a real strong showing to see that the front office has a plan for a future
instead of just treading water all
especially
the time.
Since we're giving them a lot of money.
Yeah, I absolutely hear you. I feel like their problems on offense were pretty well documented the last couple of years. They didn't address them, so this is a step in the right direction. This is finally maybe this is the year, Greg. That we can always go in hoping this is the year And they are they can win that division. That division is bad, so they have a really good shot to win it again.
Yeah.
Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other week. Thank you so very much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple. Stay with us when we return. A salute to who? Yeah, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, he'll be rotting in hell for playing the devil.
To Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calamity Cal, suggested by a listener in WFHR.
Calamity.
Calamity on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy, busy show today. Thank you so very much, everybody. Who called and texted, and we talked about some hard things. We talked about some good things with what's going on with the Blatnik Bridge.
Blatnik!
It's so Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I just love
the Blatnik Bridge.
Yeah.
But President Biden stopping in Superior today to highlight that. And I believe Janet Yellen is going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow.
All-star team. I
mean, all-star team.
Next thing all we need is, like, you know, I don't know. Who'd be a cool... Pete Buttigieg. Come on down.
Secretary Pete?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. He might actually stop by Superior at some point because he is the transportation department.
Yeah,
so.
I welcome him. I'll bring a dish to pass.
How nice.
I'll bring some of those brownies I made for Christmas.
That
destroyed my thumb.
Yeah, he suffered a severe caramel burn.
Yeah, I did.
All right, we are digressing. We do want to give a shout out where it's deserved.
Salute?
A salute.
All right.
We are giving a salute to former New Jersey governor and Republican presidential wannabe Chris Christie.
Yeah, good old Chris Christie, who after reading this, and I've kind of always secretly wanted this, really would like for him to be a liberal because I just love loud liberals.
Like, he did some pretty sneaky things though, when he was governor.
Absolutely. But you know
the whole Bridgegate thing, that was not cool.
Do you know who else did sneaky things? Bill Clinton. So
that's very well.
There
that's
you go.
A good point. Yes.
Yeah. But he decided to go to a convention in Florida and address a crowd that was very, very, very MAGA.
Very hostile.
And guess what he decided not to do? Take their guff. Calvin, I believe we have a clip for the listeners to hear former governor speak.
Your anger against the truth is reprehensible. When you think about the problems that our country and this world is facing, when you think about that, this type of pettiness is beneath the process of electing a president. Yeah. And as people watch today, if your arguments are so great and mine are so bad, then just keep quiet. Let me make my awful arguments, and then you can just reject them out of hand. But the problem is you fear the truth.
Chris Christie speaking yesterday to a group of Republican voters in Florida, a very hostile group.
Yeah. And folks, I just want you to imagine something really quick. First of all, go find the video. But if you can't or you don't want to, I just want you to do this for one moment. You listen to him speak. I want you to close your eyes and remember that when he was doing that, he didn't have both hands on the podium.
He wasn't shaking a fist. He wasn't sweating. He was leaning
to the left and just looking at him like, you all are pathetic. And I am petty. I am very petty. This is chef's kiss. He knew what he was doing. He walked on that stage and says, yeah, give me a few minutes. I'll talk to these individuals, keeping it FCC clean.
There you go. I give him a lot of credit for keeping his cool. Again, he didn't get red-faced.
No.
He didn't start sweating. He wasn't stumbling.
No.
And I think he just makes a good point. And this kind of goes back even to the very beginning of the show. If all you have are insults, you have no argument.
Yeah.
So if we are going to actually fix things and substantially address things, we have to come together and talk about hard things, not just yell at the other person that you're an idiot because I think so.
We don't have to be best friends.
No.
We don't have to hang out. We don't have to do anything other than agree on the idea that if you love this country, that there's something in it, that making it better for all is good. And if the guy that you're supporting is talking about tightening restrictions, exerting more control over freedoms, changing the Constitution,
crushing the Constitution,
then you have to ask yourself, just because it doesn't affect you now, when will he turn his sights on you? Because eventually, as we've seen with anyone who's been close to him, at one point, they're no longer good enough. When will you no longer be good enough to him?
For Donald Trump.
Correct.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that. We only have a couple of minutes left. But he was an operative in the Trump campaign, younger man, this Ryan Quadracci, who apparently was at the New Hampshire victory party, took in a picture with Trump's lawyer, Alina Habba, who had just gotten out of the court appearance of the E. Jean Carroll thing because she said she had a fever and her parents had COVID. She was at that victory party. This kid took a picture with her, posted it online. Moments later, he was being escorted out of the event. And he even said, I'm the most loyal Trump guy there is, and they're doing this to me.
When will you be done serving your purpose?
When will you be next?
Yep. Because you will be next. I don't mean to get dark and conspiratorial, but it's not conspiracy when there's evidence to support the fact that he goes after those who slight him in the tiniest of fashions.
In any way.
In any way, shape, or form. So
thank you. Thank you so very much for listening, for calling, and for texting. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and Journal Sentinel sports reporter, J.R. Radcliffe. Most of all, again, thank you to you. Without you, we got nothing. I genuinely hope you find some joy today. And you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.